Welcome back to Little Things or Big Things Education Podcast with T-Free and K-Dub. In this week's connection activity, K-Dub is going to guide us through a couple of class warm-ups and assignments to help students build confidence as we get into this power of negative self-talk week as our main focus. So let's get to it. All right, so with this week, you know, and the big idea, I think Tim's going to talk more about this idea of how negative self-talk is something that we really want to avoid. And for me, one of the strategies in avoiding that negative self-talk is to develop some self-confidence, right? To give the kids reason to believe that they are capable, you know, that, you know, what's the line from, I can't remember the movie now either, Pandemic Brain, we'll skip it. But, you know, just that idea of like, of being like, really intentional about where my headspace is at and focusing on what's in front of me and not worrying about the stressors out ahead. So I have two ways that I'm sure aren't revolutionary or super revelatory, but in terms of being really intentional around this idea of self-talk to build your students' confidence. So I'm going to start with some warm-up stuff that I do. And Tim, if any of this reminds you of something you're doing, feel free to interrupt and add some other examples. But like some warm-ups I do, as I'll do like a Kahoot before the test, on material that we've already got, that we've already covered and like that they have notes for, right? So that's a way to build some confidence on the test is telling them, hey, these are questions that are going to be on the test. And then they see themselves answering the questions correctly. And then the sneaky part of that too, right, is if they don't answer the questions correctly, they're seeing the right answer. So they're being given, right? They're being given the answers essentially to the test the day before in a very real way. So that's a real default way. Kids love Kahoot anyways. You know, I've got kids that tell me about like they can hear that song playing in their sleep.
Oh, for sure.
Sometimes, right? Because it's a very whoever created that song did a very good job of making that a sticking point. Another way that I'll do this, similar to the idea of test prep, what's kind of my focus when I do these warm-ups is to build some confidence for the test. Is for the writing portion of a test, I'll give them like a sample of the type of reading that we're going to do. And then put them in a group that I've selected for them and have them pick out the evidence that they're going to use to answer the question. And then I'll assign roles to make sure that kids that I'm a little bit nervous about their confidence level, like making sure that they're forced to be an active participant in the group so that they're actually working with people and seeing how they're finding things. So again, it's this idea of like they're in a group, they know they've got the right answer before they come up to the front of the class because of the way I set up the groups and the way that I check in with the groups. And then they come up and they present, okay, for this, you know, for this question, this paragraph, this is the evidence that best answers the question, right? Or that could best be used to answer the question. So those are just two really good ways for, from a test standpoint, to use like a either end of the day or I usually do it at the beginning of class, like a warm-up activity to build some confidence for a test that's right around the corner and to give kids this belief that, oh, I know how to do this, right? Like even if I didn't know that I knew how to do this, I know that I'm getting the answers right now. So I'm feeling confident going into the test. Do you do anything similar with math class?
I was going to say, I was like, I love the brilliance of like the ninja, like give the answer, but let them think it's their answer. So it creates the like, oh, dude, I did this, you know, like, and yeah, I would say that I do something, I guess, similar when I'm doing my warmups or like a either a review or whatever. Right? Normally I'll do stuff on the board as they're coming in and like I'll give them some time. And if it feels like everybody's really stuck, like I'll go around, I'll help people individually and I'll make sure people are on the right page. And like, I make sure that about 80% of my room is kind of on the right track before I actually do it on the board in front of everybody. And then I very specifically, if I know I helped a kid through a spot, will remember to call on that kid to explain that spot. Because then they're the one that's like, oh yeah, I know how to do this now. And it's part of that growth mindset. And it exactly what we're talking about, it creates that confidence. They're now contributing to the class. They feel like they're doing more and it creates more meaning. It locks that in for them. So yeah, I love the idea of kind of feeding them answers to build their confidence in a like a sneak ninja way.
Yeah, so that's a great idea that I think both of us use. And then from like a bigger picture, like how to set up your class and put assignments together, I'm going to use football as my analogy again, right? Like primary sport as a football coach. So I may offend some football coaches, but they're wrong if they're offended, so that's okay. I'm very confident in that take. A well-coached football team, if you're teaching your quarterback a brand new five-route pass concept, the way that you teach that to your quarterback is not by dropping him onto the field and saying, okay, this guy's going to run a post, that guy's going to run a dig, this guy's going to run a shallow, that guy's going to run a corner route, and that guy's going to run a flare, right? Like, so that's where everybody's moving.
What did you say first?
Yes. So I know I went fast, but that was kind of for the purpose of the podcast. Even a good coach would hopefully go slower than that. But, like, here's all the routes. Okay, here's the 11-man defense. Here's a pass rush. Let's go ahead and snap the ball. And first rep, oh, you threw a pick. Let me scream at you because you failed this test because you threw the ball to the wrong spot. Right? Like that.
Right.
Again, that's why I'm confident. If anyone's offended by this, they're just a bad coach, and I'm okay with them being offended with this. What you would do instead is – one, like take advantage of multiple learning modalities. Let's talk about it on a grease board, right? Like in a meeting before practice, if and when possible, have some film to show them what it looks like with somebody else doing it is also a great way to do it. Then we get out to the field, just me and the other quarterbacks. Okay, so you know you're gonna have this is gonna be where the routes are gonna end up. I've got a whole acronym around like how to read coverage and stuff that they've already learned at that point. Right, so identifying this is your over route, this is your now route, like all this kind of stuff. Identify those. Ask them to repeat it back to you, right? Okay, tell me where the routes are in the progression. Tell me what you're looking for as cues to get there. Next step, we're going to just throw one of the routes, right? We're just going to, okay, all the guys who run the post routes, we're just going to throw 10 post routes and get that locked in, right? And then we're going to go to the next route. Okay, now we're going to go to having all the routes going, but you're only going to still be in charge of throwing one route, right? So you might have five quarterbacks throwing and they're all cycling through throwing and you're matching the timing to make sure they're going through the progression, but they've got a pre-designed route, right? Like, okay, I know I'm looking at all the routes, but I'm just throwing the check down, right? That's the one I'm responsible for. So I know what I'm supposed to do here. Okay, now we're going to go half field, right? We're going to add some defenders to it, but we're going to go half field so you kind of know what you're looking at. Then full field, then introduce like a pass rush and these things. Right? Like you go through all these different checkpoints where you're adding complexity to the process and you're not adding that complexity. And this is where I would really push on some coaches and teachers. Don't add the complexity until your players or your students have mastered the level that you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So just because you said you were going to go from post routes to now throwing multiple, like having all the routes. Well, dude, if you're 0 for 20 on post routes, keep throwing post routes. Right? Like we got to get that completion percentage up. So to take this to the classroom, I try and do things very similar. I talked a little bit with how I do this with research, where I don't give them all six steps in the research process right off the bat, right? Like we're going to chunk those out and do them in different pieces before I ask them to do all six at once. The same thing goes for a big part at our school in the history department is evidence-based writing, right? We want you to be able to make a claim, back it up with multiple pieces of evidence from sources that have been given and or that you found on your own, and then explain why you think that evidence is supporting your thesis, right? Like there's this acronym that we use that we find helpful for kids if they're struggling with remembering the steps and all of this process, right? So again, the way to do that is not to say, okay, here's this news article on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. My question at the end is explain the power dynamic between Israel and Palestine. No, that's too complicated, right? Like let's start with just 20 reps of writing a thesis statement. So I'm gonna ask you a couple of different questions with like very short reading and you're just gonna answer the question. And sometimes it's not gonna be social studies related, like, right? Let's have some low hanging fruit, like that low barrier to entry that you and I keep talking about, to introduce the concept. Okay, now let's isolate the finding evidence skill and do that. And then again, right, not always doing it by ourselves either, right? Doing it as a class, doing it in a small group, then doing it by yourself, right? There's all these different ways to break down the process and build the individual skill all separately before you ask them to do the whole thing at once. And the more I teach, the more I intentionally break those things apart and really focus on doing the thin version of the skill. And I think a lot of people are like in teacher speak, right? We call that scaffolding. Right. And, or I just think of it as like breaking down the skill into its multiple components and just focusing on one component at a time. And I think that goes a long way towards building confidence, because instead of kids having negative self-talk because they're seeing this big picture that they don't know how to tackle, they're seeing the little components that they've already had success with. And again, I would really, it's hard to do this in a class, and I will admit freely to, I haven't gotten there 100% on not just moving forward, because we have the thing that we need to move forward with. But right. This is something I've written down as a note. Again, I'm still like in the back of my brain, that Super Mario effect thing is like just going to live in part of my brain for a while. And so like really thinking about that and like, yeah, you don't get to move on from level one until you beat level one.
Right.
So I'm going to
really, what happens if you don't beat the game? Cause I think that's where we're getting to, right? Is like, can we stay at level one for forever?
No, but I'm a firm believer that if you're doing a legitimately good job of working with your students and figuring out where their hurdles are at, that you're going to move your students, right? Like I can't imagine in any teacher's classroom, like a teacher who cares enough about the profession to be listening to this podcast right now, I'm just going to guess that like you're not going to be so non-helpful to your students that over the course of several weeks or several months, you're not going to be able to move students to that next step. The other part of this, and this is the thing that I'm really nervous about as I'm thinking about the Super Mario effect and this idea of not moving from one level to the next until you're ready, is that whole idea of differentiation.
Yeah.
Right? Another big teacher word. Man, I might have to get used to the fact that I've got a room of 30 students and 8 kids are on level 4, 3 kids are on level 5, and 2 kids are on level 1, and I'm alternating the assignment that they're being expected to do based on where they're at in the process right now. Right. And again, this goes back to my whole L curve thing, like grade kids for what they learned. Right? That's, to me, that's what a grade should reflect. A grade should reflect, what did you learn this year? Or what did you learn this grading period? And so, you know, if you've got a kid who can't get off level one, that means that there was probably a whole ton of other stuff that they didn't know that they need to get credit for learning in some way, shape, or form. And I don't know how to make that look, but you ask a very good question. Like, what do we do if the kid can't figure out how to use the jump button?
Right. No, and quick shout out, because I know both of us have worked with him before. I think one of the greatest teachers, at least in the math field, that I've ever witnessed do what you're talking about, where like someone's on level 4 and someone's on level 1 and everything in between. And he somehow was able to bounce between all these kids, give them feedback, get them to move. And then once they beat their game, right, beat their level, mm-hmm. they were legit able to go in the back and play board games and card games and stuff that he had set that were kind of, you know, puzzle based. And you know, it was still kind of working our general mindset, but Will Whitmore, man, like that, yeah, dude,
absolutely.
Just amazing. One, his level of energy he brings on a regular basis, mm-hmm. and two, like old school, like BlackBerry, has the grade book in his hand on a phone, walking around. It's, okay, great, you got your 7 points. Okay, perfect. Moving on. You got, next worksheet, you've got the gold one now. Now there's your purple one. Go grab the blue one. Hey, you still got the green one back there? Come up here. I've got a sample for you on the front whiteboard that's going to help you get through the, you know, the stuck spot on level one. You know, like it takes a ton, because I've tried to do it before, and it really just made me have such an appreciation for him. But what you're talking about here, like how do we build this and scaffold this so that we connect with the kids, we get them from level to level to level, and we allow them to move at their tempo, and you know, they're not penalized for being stuck at a spot longer than somebody else.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, it's funny. As soon as you started talking about Whitmore, like, you were, like, 2 sentences in, probably 1 sentence into the description, and I was like, oh, I know who he's talking about. Because I, you know, I actually went in when I was teaching, because at one point my classroom, like, my first year teaching was across the hallway from him and Dever, and right. So it was, like, really wild being across the hallway from 2 of my former teachers, and I went in there to, like, just observe him teaching one time, mm-hmm. and the ability that he had to do exactly what you're talking about, to like help each kid at the different spot they were in and bounce around. And he still had the BlackBerry going in 2015, yep. 2016. Really impressive. And so I do want to be real clear, like full disclosure, I have not gotten to that part yet. Like I hadn't even really like brain to that way of thinking about the rules and the Super Mario effect. So, you know, Whitmore is light years ahead of me at that point. But again, even if you're not ready to make that like revolutionary, and I really do think like reframing education that way is like truly revolutionary. But I think if you're not ready for that, and or it's not possible in the space that you're in, right, you don't have enough control over your circumstances to create that, you still have the ability to isolate a part of a skill, a component of a skill, like doing a quadratic equation or writing an evidence-based piece of or an evidence-based claim, or I'm not great with thinking about other subjects, right? Like, but like doing a squat, right? Like you can break that thing down into the different components and allow your students to develop a confidence with that particular component before you move to the next component, right? And do that with all of, however many components you think go into doing that particular task. Have them do all of the components and then put the whole thing together.
Right. And as we talk about, and I love how like you and I are literally having like a live building moment right now. Like, how do we make this real? Like with the Super Mario effect and building, like I'm imagining like if I did something kind of like Whitmore was doing where, okay, here is, you know, the quadratic formula. Like I got to be able to solve, you know, X squared functions. And if I can handle this one, you know, that's going to lock in my C, right? Like I've got unlimited attempts to get there to keep my C basically, but that's going to lock me in. Right. And then once I beat that level, I move to this one. And if I can beat this level, I'm at a 75. If I can beat this level, I'm at an 80, you know, and it's like I'm not losing points for missing and I get unlimited attempts to beat that next level. And I just kind of keep climbing until I'm like, okay, there's like my honors level, like, you know, what do they call it? Like the level 3 thinking or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Right. Some more of that teacher talk stuff, but it's like, can I hit that higher level and be like, okay, there's my 100% kid, and you worked your way to it. Mm-hmm. And like try to get those levels. So like each topic, each unit maybe doesn't even necessarily have like a big unit test to it. Mm-hmm. But it's more, okay, like you said, it's what did I learn? And okay, I hit this skill, I hit this skill, I hit this scale, I got stuck, I got stuck, I got stuck, I got stuck. Eventually we've got to move on. Okay, you got an 80 on this level. Mm-hmm. Kind of an idea. I don't know, like just kind of spitfire. And I like where it's going though.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good way to think about it. And you're right, like at some point we'll have to cut off the podcast part of this, but it is like a live brainstorm of, again, I think I watched that video twice in the last 3 days just to like really try and have Rober video about the Super Mario effect. And it can completely change the way that we organize our classrooms. And I think, whatever lens you're approaching the need to change the way education works, whether you're just worried about like college and career readiness, which, you know, you've heard me rail against, whether you're worried about like taking an anti-racist lens, or you're just worried about student learning, like whatever one of those three categories you're focused on, the Super Mario effect is powerful in any of those thought processes. And so that's one of the reasons why I've latched onto it so vehemently, is just I really do think it can really help you create an idea. It's a great way to rethink how to structure the way your classroom works. And, you know, it's going to be a while before it changes the way school districts work, obviously, but you can at least change some of the things in your classroom.
Right. And to like go full circle here, because it almost feels like we went on a bit of a tangent, but it's so in line with everything you've been talking about in this connection activity. It's like that is proper scaffolding. Mm-hmm. Right, like building these levels, like that is the scaffolding. It is building the warm up where, you know, hey, you've been stuck on level one for a while. Go watch how Johnny beat level one and see if you pick up something from it. Right? Yeah. Can you learn from this video? Can you watch somebody else? Can you learn from them? Because I mean, that's another one of our great ways of learning and growing, is learning from other people and demonstrations and like student led learning and all that kind of stuff. Like it all ties back into this that then ultimately builds our confidence. eliminates this negative self-talk and hopefully moves us forward to at least a neutral level, even if we're not always talking like highly and positive, as long as we can eliminate that. And I'm excited to talk more about it here in the big idea, how much better that can set us up for success. So,
yeah. And I think, like, just to put a cap on it, I know I'm kind of stealing your thunder here, but like the part of like the self-talk that's connected to the Super Mario effect is the number of tries, right? That math of 12 tries when I'm not getting a negative score, 5 tries when I am receiving negative points for a failed attempt. Like that right there is telling you the power of negative talk. Mm-hmm. I lost 5 points. That hurts my confidence. I'm only going to try this 5 times. Nobody took any points away. I'm not losing self-confidence. I'm not having negative self-talk. I'm going to try 12 times and succeed at 15% higher a rate than I was in the other model, or than people were in the other model. So I think all of that stuff is wrapped up into it. And I too am excited to learn more about some of the research that you've done around how self-talk, negative self-talk, can really harm the way we move forward with things.
Right. So yeah, I appreciate you sharing those. Those are great warm-up ideas and learning scaffolding ideas to build that confidence. So thank you for what you have shared with us, and we'll see you all back here on Thursday. Always learning a peak state.
Make it a great day.